sermon, I'm preaching the same thing all year, which is not a new thing. I've been preaching the same thing for 9 years. It's Jesus on the cross, Jesus off the cross, buried and resurrected, salvation through Him and through Him alone. But as I was doing my regular Bible readings and stuff like that, at the beginning of the year, Jesus reminded me everything that He taught was about the kingdom of God. You know, He didn't teach us how to heal people, right? He did teach us how to pray because His disciples asked for it. But when Jesus sat down in front of a bunch of people and He wanted to explain to them the thing that was most important to Him, He always taught about the kingdom of God. Oh, what a great kingdom we have. Amen. Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have a place. They have a kingdom. And it's much better than this kingdom of the world. You know, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no hurting, there is no pain, there is no war, there are no conflicts. Amen. There is true peace that goes way on beyond understanding, beyond our understanding. Sometimes my southern talking gets in front of my tongue and I can't see what I'm saying. But God always desires people to know Him in a deep personal love relationship. He wants us to know that there is a kingdom. All right. He wants us to know that He died on a cross to provide us a way to get to that kingdom. Because before that, there was no way. I mean, there's the Ten Commandments, but everybody messed up on those. All of us did. There's the sacrificial system, you know, where you had to bring your sheep and your goats and your oxen and your pigeons and all that stuff and have them slaughtered every week, right? Tied to the altar. I'm glad we don't have to do that no more. And then there's that perfect sacrifice that came through Jesus Christ, where God sent His only Son to shed His blood for my sin. Wow. What a strange way to save the world, right? What a strange way to open up the kingdom of heaven, that whoever believes in Him might have a part of it. But even at that, as Jesus through the cross opened up the kingdom of God to us, the enemy has come in. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. This is one of the many parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom. There's several of them here. And as we get into this, I pray that your heart would be attuned to what the Spirit of God has to say for the church this morning. So let us go to the Lord in real quick prayer. And this is about the development of the kingdom in our minds and in real life. Father, I thank You so much for the Word that You gave us, Your living Word, the Bible. I pray, Jesus, that as we speak about these things, as we open up the Word, as we look into the depth of the kingdom of God, Father, that You would give us illumination that we might understand. I pray for the ones that have never heard that they would hear today. I pray for the ones that have heard over and over again that You would renew in them a deep desire to walk in holiness, Father, that we might not defame the name of the Most High God. I pray, Father, that You would do these things. And even as I open my mouth, Father, I would decrease, oh Lord, and Your Word and Your power would increase way beyond my capabilities. And we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. And so if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to start with 35 and then we're going to back up. So in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus has been teaching these parables. He was in a house for a while, and the house got crowded, and then he went out by the seaside, and he started teaching these parables. And everything he taught, he only taught in parables. And the disciples asked him, he said, "Why are you teaching them parables?" And Jesus told his disciples, "It's for you disciples, those who are already born again, those who already know me. He brought this that you might know the mysteries of the kingdom." All right, today he's coming to the end of those teachings. And again, his disciples, and at the end of this, Jesus talks about him using parables. And in 34 and 35 of Matthew chapter 13, he says, all these things Jesus spoke unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, I open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So Jesus talked in parables, and what he was doing was opening up a portal, I guess we could call it in our own mind, these things that had been kept secret about the kingdom of God ever since the creation of the world. There were certain things that were hidden away. There were certain things that we could not wrap our minds around, could not open our hearts and thoughts to. And then Jesus says, listen, this is what I'm going to do. This is why I came. It is not only to make a way to get to the kingdom, but I want to explain to you a lot of things about the kingdom. I want you to know that there is a way to the kingdom that is open for anybody who will believe. And let me tell you some deeper secret things about the kingdom. All right, you got to know that there's two kingdoms in this world that we struggle in. All right, there's the kingdom of darkness, right, which is the sin of our flesh. It's what we want to do, what we worship above God, right? And then there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. It's called the kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. That kingdom of light is here to illuminate us to the truth of God, that He is real, that He loves you, and that He wants you to have a relationship with Him that is deep and personal, and that we have a hope. Praise God. I have a hope in something greater than what the sum of I am. Amen? I have a hope that is greater, that I have a destiny that is more wide open and expanding than what I am worth here on this earth. Isn't that good news? It's good to know that this ain't as good as it gets. Amen? This is not the end of the story. This is just the dot, dot, dot until the story comes to life. This would be for you moms that are expecting, or anybody who's ever had a child, okay? This is the 9 months in the womb, all right? Because once you pass from the womb into this earth, see, a baby, when he's in that womb, guess what? He has everything he needs. Everything it needs is right there. It's all packaged up. But think of the things he doesn't know. He doesn't know the feeling of true sunshine on its skin, right? Doesn't know what it means to breathe yet. He's surrounded by water. He doesn't know how to breathe. But there's coming a day that he will pass from his mother's womb and into the open world. All right? Then we're in this world for a while. Nobody knows. I don't know when you're going to die. I really don't. But one thing I do know is that you're going to die. All right? It's going to happen. You're going to breathe your last breath. And then you're going to go through another reality check, all right? You're going to either go to the kingdom of light or you're going to go to the kingdom of darkness. You're going to enter into a realm called eternity. And that eternity is where you're going to spend all of eternity. So you need to know where you're going before you get there. It's much different than just the natural birth. This is a spiritual birth. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, when he came to Nicodemus at night, he said, you must be born again. You must be born not only of the water, but you must be born of the Spirit also. Because if you are not born of the Spirit of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And that seeing, as we talked about last week, was just the understanding that there is a kingdom. Without being born again, you can't even get a glimpse of the kingdom. You can't think of it. You have no idea of the promises and the glory and the rest that we have in Him. Oh, but once you're born again, once the Spirit of God has come into you and set up that residence in your heart, all of a sudden, bam, the light comes on. And now you can see things as they really are. Jesus is going to be talking about seeing these things as they really are. There's three parables by the grace of God I'm going to touch on today. One is the parable of the wheat and the tares. All right? This is a very real thing, and it's happening even now today. And so you're in Matthew chapter 13. If you'll just back up to verse 24. Again, he's talking about the kingdom here. Verse 24 says, are you there? Say amen. I don't want to go without you. Everybody on the bus? All right, sit down in your seats. Open up your mind. Get ready to hear some things that God wants to tell you. And he says, and another parable put he, meaning Jesus, forth unto them, meaning the people. Okay, so Jesus talking to the people. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Now catch that. What's Jesus trying to tell you? This is what the kingdom's like. All right, this is not exactly what it is, but this is what it's like. This is how what you can compare it to. So let's compare the kingdom to a worldly thing. And so he says, this is the kingdom is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will send my reapers and gather together first the tares and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. When you open up this and you start looking at it, there's several things that are happening here. Jesus must have been talking to farmers, all right? He's talking to somebody who understands what planting wheat was about. He was talking to somebody who understood what was good seed, right? He was also understanding, he was talking to somebody who understands somebody who wants to mess up your work. Anybody have somebody want to mess up their work, right? I'll tell you a real quick story, all right? When I was new in the floor installation, by the way, I was a floor installer for 30 years before God called me into the pastorate. All right, so way back when, and I was young, I was green, and I thought I knew it all. And I pretty much did, if you ask me. Go ahead and ask me. Yeah, I knew it all. There was nothing you could tell me. I knew it all. Well, that arrogance got me in trouble. I came to a new town, a new city, a new state. I was in Leesville, Louisiana. And I was just hired onto a company there, and I was doing work that nobody else was doing. I was kind of braggadocious about it. I don't know if y'all get that way, but I got a problem with pride. And so anyhow, somebody decided to fix me up, and they poured brake fluid. No, they poured transmission fluid in my brake lines. All right? So driving to work one day, I noticed my brakes were kind of hard. They were stiff. You know, I was stopping real fast. Well, I was going down in between one stoplight to another stoplight, and all four wheels locked up. Why was that? No, I was doing something, and the enemy, somebody who didn't like what I was doing, wanted to put a stop to me, and he decided to sabotage my truck. Well, that's the same thing that was happening here, only to a farmer. The farmer, he went out, he got good seed. He put the good seed into his field. He planted it, he was caring for it, and then it says something really, Jesus says something really great here. He says, while they slept. And it's interesting, that guy who must have done that to my truck had to be when I was asleep. He had to come to my house in the middle of the night and do that kind of stuff, or else I would have seen him, right? But while they sleep, what happens when people sleep? When you don't really pay attention to the times and the seasons that you're in? When you really don't think about the kingdom to come? All of a sudden, somebody can come in and start putting false ideas, false thoughts, false teaching. When you really don't read the word for what it says and understand the Bible for what it says, people can come in and start messing it up. Have you ever got underneath weird doctrine before? Somebody teaching stuff that it doesn't sound right, but I have no way to prove it's wrong, right? And so you just believe the lie rather than the truth because it's easier, right? Now here's the truth with a lie tied to it. God is love. Amen? That is a truth, that God is love, right? And there's no doubt, no taking away from that. Well, there's a teaching that goes along with that. Since God is love, he'll never judge anybody. All dogs go to heaven. That's a lie, all All right? All humans, no matter what, you go to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do. Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world. And no matter what you do, no matter how nasty you are, no matter what kind of stuff you did, doesn't matter if you murdered, killed, raped, it doesn't matter how much you stole, you're going to go to heaven anyhow because Jesus loves everybody. Now, Jesus does love everybody. That's true. But there is a difference between heaven and hell. There are folks who teach things incorrectly. There are people in the church that look like Christians and ain't. Right? There are tares sown in among the wheat. So I don't want you to take my word for these things. Let's see what Jesus says. Oh, I said there are several things here. There's the good seed, right? There's the man who planted the good seed. There's the field. There's the men when they slept. There's an enemy, all right? And then there's tares. Jesus answers all, or comes to the end of all of these teachings, and he answers what this parable means. And it says that the disciples came to him to declare, what is the parable of the sower of the seeds, and what does it mean? And verse 37, so we're in 24, we're skipping over the parable of the mustard seed in 11, we'll come back to that. All right, so Jesus answering what this whole parable means. Because when I read it, did it confuse you? Isn't it good to know that the answer to all of your confusion is found in the Word of God? Amen. You don't have to listen to me. And please, I would ask you, do not believe anything I say that cannot be backed up in Scripture. Amen? Amen. Because if I teach you anything outside of the confines of this book, that makes me a liar. And anytime, and this is great, anytime that I think that I know more than this book, guess what? I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And if I need to change something in that book, guess what? If what needs to change, my opinion or the Word of God? My opinion, right? Because I am a sinner and the Word of God is perfect, right? So coming back to that, and Jesus answering, and he answered unto his disciples and said unto them, now, catch the picture. Jesus had been teaching on the seashore, and there was a multitude of people. After he finished teaching these parables, he said, everybody go home. Everybody, I'm done teaching. And you'll see that here in about an hour and a half when I get through talking. Right? I'll say, everybody go home. I see you. I love you too. And so I'll tell everybody to go home, and you're going to go home, and you're going to do your way. And there'll be a couple of folks that hang around that we get to talk to, get a little bit deeper. They can ask me, Curtis, I think you're really messed up. Can you explain to me what you're talking about? And so this is the disciples doing this here with Jesus. And he answered to them. He sent the people away, and he brought his disciples into the house again. And his disciples asked, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. In 37, chapter 13, verse 37, and he, meaning Jesus, answered and said unto his disciples, that being them. Did that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And he said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. All right, so who sowed the good seed? Jesus, the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. All right, so looking at this real slow, let's back up and look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus came. He is the one who sowed the seed. He's the one who makes Christians. Jesus is the one who builds the church. Praise God for that. I am not building a church. That's not my job. All right? My job is just to simply tell y'all, or just read what the Bible says and kind of put a, not a spin. There's another word I can't think of it. Expound. That's the word I'm looking for. Just to simply expound what the word is saying. Make it where we all can understand it a little bit easier. So Jesus said he's the one who sowed the seed. He's the one who brought the gospel, the good news, the good seed. He is the one, he is God. The field is the world. So it's here in Caledonia, it's here in Scottsville, it's over there in India, it's over in Russia, it's in China, it's in Korea. It is the world, it's the earth. And he came and he brought the gospel to who? Everybody. All right, he came and brought the gospel to, and anybody will hear and believe and repent and trust in him, this is for you. All right, it's for you. The Father is seeking whom would serve Him. He's moving over this congregation right now. The Holy Spirit is here, and He's talking to hearts, and He says, will you believe this unto salvation? Will you put this word in your heart and let me save you? Will you let me deliver you from the reward of sin to the reward of righteousness? Now, it's up to you. Do you want that or not? Do you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Do you want that good seed? All right, because you're on this earth. You are here, and Jesus is ready and able, prepared to give you the kingdom. He just doesn't want to give you something. He wants to give you the kingdom. Right? What a great thought that is. And He said, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Do you want the kingdom? Good seed's right here. You're in this world. You don't have to be of this world. Right? Jesus wants to plant in you the seed of righteousness, the seed of holiness, the very holy seed, the Word of God. He wants to put that in you. But at the same time, there's an enemy. But the tares, all right, are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. All right, now catch this, if you don't mind. Wrap your mind around this. In every congregation, there's both tares and there's the good seed. Every congregation. I can't look at you and tell that there's a difference. I can't. I can't look at George and say, George, I know you're going to heaven, right? I have faith that you are because of the things that you believe and the confession that you made. You confessed with your mouth, you believed in your heart, and you, through the authority of the Scripture, you'll be saved. You believe that unto salvation, right? But there's others that come to the body of Christ, and they come often, right? They come like every week, and they might say it with their mouth, but they never truly believe about the kingdom in their heart. They look like Christians on the outside. They all dress the right way. They all say the right words. They do like me. I read the King James Bible. They all know the will, thou's, and thus's, right? Or some of you read the Nearly Inspired Version, NIV. I love you. I cast no stones. I don't care. The thing is that there's both the tares and the wheat, and they're growing together at the same time. Now, it's not my job to look out there and say, wheat, tear, wheat, tear, tear, wheat, tear, 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 wheat, tear, tear, tear. That's not my job. And even if I see that there's tares in amongst us, it's not my job to pull you up or cast you out. You know that? What would happen if we started prejudging people? I don't like you because you wear pink beanies or bandana. What's that called? Beret. All right? I don't like you because you don't wear the same. You've got pink shoelaces on, man. You're messed up. This one here has one shoe on, one shoe off. Oh, you can't. That's not good. You don't talk the same way I do. You don't look the same way I do. So I'm going to call you a tear, and I'm going to tell you to get out of here. There's a lot of churches that do that. Shame on them. It's not my job. It's not your job. Well, I know this person slept with that person. This person drank beer last week. This person did that. This person... Stop it! That's not the... This, you're missing the kingdom. You're missing the greatness of what it is. God's going to take care of that. He says at the end of the world, He's going to send His angels, and He's going to separate the tares from the wheat. When's it going to happen? At the end of the world. The last day, right? When? And so why do we worry about these stupid things that cause more division than it does unity? I said I was going to teach on all three of these parables. It ain't happening. All right? So next, tune in next week. We'll be coming back. And so in this teaching and in these deeper things, Lord, thank you. Oh, where's it at? It's in the Revelations chapter 14. Revelation 14. Flip back there real quick. Because Jesus says it real plain. I like it when Jesus explains stuff better than I can. 14:14. 14:14? All right. In the year 14:14. No. That was a different song, wasn't it? 14. Oh, yeah. Revelation chapter 14:14. It's the harvest of the earth. Remember Jesus said in this parable, at the end of time, there'll be a harvest that'll happen. And John's saying, this is John the Apostle, and he's seeing this picture opening up before his eyes. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one that sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the crown, sat on the cloud, thrust in a sickle in the earth, and it was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, and saying, thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in a sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto a horse's bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's 184 miles. So there'll come a day, all right, that Jesus is going to come. There's coming a day, like Jesus said right here, at the end time, at the end of the harvest, he's going to send angels, and he's going to separate the tares and the wheat one from another. And he's going to take the tares and he's going to bundle them together. Anybody who has not trusted in Jesus Christ, he's going to bundle them together. They're all going to be brought together. And they have a place of toasting. Toasted tares. That could be a new cereal. Oh, those toasted tares. Oh, those toasted tares. Right? But there's nothing good about that, because you're being bundled together and you're going to be put out of the kingdom of God and thrust into a place where there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's those who don't trust Jesus Christ, who heard the call of God and did not ever turn their heart over to him. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. They heard the good news, but they didn't accept the good news. God moved over them, and he said, Mike, I want to know you. I want to call you my son. And at one time, Mike, he is born again, as far as I know. All right. He said, yes, I'll take it. Right. I want that. I want the kingdom. But there's others that the Spirit of God moves over, and they said, no, you know, I don't believe that. That's crazy talk. And they never accepted it. But it was available to everybody who heard it. Anybody who hears it, today is the day of salvation for you. Today can be a day of turning. You can turn. Yeah, folks, I want you to know something. This is just between you and I. Well, actually, anybody who hears this, I guess it ain't secret that much. I'm going to say it out loud. I was a tare. I was. You know, I was in a body of Christ. I was pretending to be a Christian. I really was. I was doing Bible studies, man. I was cleaning the church. I was doing all the things. But I never really trusted Jesus. I was busy in my religion. I was there amongst the wheat. And I pretended that I was wheat. But really, my heart was not in the work. My heart wasn't surrendered to the Most High God. And if I would have died in that state, in that situation, pretending to be a Christian, I would have had my part with the damned and the condemned. But God, through his infinite mercy, saw me as a tare. He said, you tare. I love you. I want to change you to wheat. Praise God. sitting where you're at right now, and you come to church, you do all the things, you do all the stuff, but you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me finish reading this. Verse 4. As therefore the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather them out of his kingdom, all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, look at what Jesus said here. At the end of this world, excuse me, Beck, you should never eat breakfast before you preach. I know, it's just one of those things. But anyhow, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned with the fire, so it shall be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend. Do you remember where we read in the Revelation where the angels come down because the earth is ready to be reaped? It's ready to be harvested? So this is at that time. And he says, all of them out of his kingdom. Like Jesus said, the tares are going to be gathered first, right? They're going to be gathered first, and then they're going to be dealt with. And then the wheat's going to be gathered and brought into the barn. Here he says, look at what the Son of Man says. His angels will go forth and will gather out of his kingdom all those things that offend. Are you living a life that offends God? Question one. And he says, part two, and them which do iniquity. Do you understand what that a sinful lifestyle, following your flesh and not the Spirit? Do you see that there's a clear dividing line here? God knows who's wheat, and he knows who's tares. He knows who's going to not accept him, and he knows who are those that will accept him. Those who will humble themselves to the hand of the Lord, and those who will resist unto the end. What changes you? The Spirit of God. When you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's more than just hearing, right? Because you can hear the Word of God and still not be saved. It's more than just confessing, because there's a lot of folks who confess the Lord Jesus Christ and never believed. It comes to the point when you surrender your will to His will. When you hear the preaching of the Word of the Lord, when you hear the gospel presented to you, and it starts to pierce your heart, you have a choice there. That choice is to let it continually pierce your heart and weaken it until it breaks, that the Holy Spirit can come in and set up His home there. Or you can harden your heart and refuse the good news. And what happens to that in your skin? All right, so you cut yourself once, right, and it heals, and you end up with a scar, right? You cut it there on the same spot again. Or when you build calluses, right? Anybody here work for a living? I mean, not the computers, but I mean really work. You labor, right? And back when I was laboring, I've been preaching now for 9 years, so I don't have the calluses I used to. But what builds a callus is you ripped up the skin and underneath, and it caused a blister, which was sore. When that blister dried up, it made a callus. And the more you work with those, the more calloused your hands get, which means the more you can put up with it. Same thing with sin and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to you, but you harden your heart toward that and it becomes callous. And it takes more and more and more to penetrate those calluses. Right? There was a time that I had no problem. I could put cigars out on my hand and it wasn't no big deal, right? I'm sure you could probably do that. Steve could probably do it. You know, he can grab a hold of a coal of fire with his hand. I mean, they're just callous. They're tough. Hard to get through it. Same things with the heart of man. The more you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more callous your heart becomes. Oh, but quick as you allow the gospel to enter your heart, quick as you allow Jesus Christ to come inside, all of a sudden he takes that heart of stone and he turns it into a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh is now pliable. It's usable. It's humble.
before the Lord. And He can use you. He wants to open your heart to the knowledge of the kingdom. He wants to open your life to the reality that Jesus Christ loves you while you're still a sinner, while you're still a tare. Jesus loves you, and He wants you to know Him in a deep, personal way. Now, I've taken some liberties with the Scripture there, because Jesus didn't say that He would change a tare to wheat. What He did say is that the enemy comes in and he sows tares and amongst the wheat. But I know this from my personal experience, that I played Christianity. Right? I played the game. But then Jesus changed me. Alright? He changed me. I humbled myself under the hands of a mighty God, and He turned a thick, calloused, stubborn, stiff neck so-and-so. Rascal. Right? He turned me into something moldable and useful. It was something that only He could do. And it happened on a day very much like today. When I heard the Spirit call, I had heard Him before. I'd heard the Lord many times before calling my name, saying, come out of the darkness. I love you. I want you to know me. I want to water you with the richness of my word and with the fullness of my love. I want to give you peace that goes beyond understanding. I want to give you love. I want these things. He is the Creator God, and He saw me while I was yet a sinner. Jesus saw me, and He's looking at you today. He says, listen, if you'll turn your heart to me, if you will surrender your heart to me, I will not just give you a life, but I will give you life more abundant. Who wants some abundant life? Right? I do. I want the abundant life. I want it so much. I want the kingdom so much that this kingdom of darkness and this hurt and this dysfunction on this earth holds me, doesn't hold me anymore. Choice is yours. The Bible says, plain and simple, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The question is, do you want it? I heard some folks shaking their head yes. I heard some people shaking their head no. I will love you no matter what. Alright? I'm going to love you. If you don't come, I'm going to love you. If you do come, I'm going to love you. I'm not God. I don't have to make that dividing line. There's tares here and there's wheat here. It's not my job. My job is just simply this. To love you the way that Jesus loves me. Right? So let's try some of that. Amen. Let's just try a little bit. Try a little love. And if you want to know what love looks like, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Alright? Because you can love like the world and still miss it. But there's a love that goes way beyond understanding. I promised you three. I barely got through one. Parables. Next week, I'll use my notes. Okay. Folks, I love you. I love you. And I pray that you have heard the Spirit's call and that you want it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have desired, do you want me to pray for you? Are you struggling right now in your heart? Did you hear something today that created a hunger or maybe a thirst in you? You're tired of the old life and you want something new, something better, something refreshing. If you do, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I see you. I'll pray for you. See you, my brother, my sister, my brother, my sister. I love you, guys. The Lord loves you. So those with your eyes and heads down, and you do trust Jesus Christ, there are many hands that went up tonight, today. I pray that you would pray for them as I pray for you. Dear Jesus, I thank you. I pray a blessing over this congregation. Lord, I ask even now through the power and the might of the Most High God, Lord, those hearts that are hungering and thirsting after you, Lord, that you would bring them, help them to confess you as their Lord and Savior. Turn them, Father, from darkness into light. Lord, help us to weed out. Help us to love the tares and to the wheat. Father, help us just to pour your grace, your goodness, your compassion on people. Lord, help us to spread out our branches, Lord, Father, and wrap people up in your love. Father, I pray for those who raise their hands, Lord, that are hungering and thirsting. I pray, Father, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that you would truly work in their heart. Father, that you would draw them with those cords of love, those cords of compassion, and that they would confess, Father, that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then they would relax in the fullness of your grace. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name.